Well, one way to think about what the internet is just to go, like, ask the people who actually make it what it is. And that group is called the Internet Engineering Task Force, which is a very, very strange organization. Okay, because the rules of the IETF are that there's no membership rules, there's no voting, there's no dues, and these are the people who decide how the internet works. These are the guys who decide you know, what the protocols are for exchanging information. And the particular guy just so happens at this on this document, these documents that the IETF puts out that define all of the standards that everybody who wants to get connected using the internet has to obey. These documents are called RFCs, which is an abbreviation for request for comment. There's a whole kind of 60s feel to the everything associated with the IETF that you throw something out for comment, let anybody who wants to comment on it, and eventually, you know, you somehow get people to accept, to converge on some acceptance or rejection, not by a up and down vote. And if you can't get a consensus, then you just don't do it, and the old internet just keeps working the way it was, and you just haven't augmented it in any significant way. So these things, long after they've been adopted, and you know, Cisco and the company that actually makes the most of the routers that hold the internet together has, you know, produced hundreds of millions of devices that obey these standards, and all of the software has been downloaded into all of your computers to adhere to these standards. They're still called RFCs. They're still called requests for comment. This particular RFC, written about 10 years ago, I just want to know, is written by a guy named Scott Bradner. So Scott Bradner actually is works here at Harvard, has worked for Harvard for a very long time. In fact, Scott Bradner has worked for Harvard such a long time that he was the first guy that hired me, that gave me a job when I was a sophomore. He used to run the computer-based laboratory over in the psychology department, and I needed to make some money, so I sort of lied my way into saying that I knew how to program computers, and he hired me. So Scott's an old-timer, and he has always been one of the significant figures in the IETF. So this particular RFC, RFC number 2418, explains how the IETF works. And I'm not suggesting anybody read all of it, but all of these RFCs are written in this, you know, appear in this teletype font, monospace font, because that's the way they've always been done. But I thought this one was worth pausing on because it actually makes an attempt to explain what the internet is, as opposed to Senator Stevens' version. The internet, comma, a loosely organized international collaboration of autonomous interconnected networks, comma, supports host-to-host communication through voluntary adherence to open protocols and procedures defined by internet standards. All right, so every piece of that sentence is actually, you know, extremely important. Loosely organized, that's the thing I just said. There's no membership. You don't, you know, say, I want to join the internet. Well, you know, you've got to go before this review board, and the review board, you know, reports to the United Nations or, you know, whatever it is. They're just kind of all kind of loose. It's international. It's highly collaborative. If it wasn't collaborative, then, you know, people from Zaire couldn't exchange messages with people from Hong Kong. Autonomous interconnected networks. So there are all of these individual networks, and the internet is the thing that connects the networks together. So there was a time, not very long ago, when every computer manufacturer had their own networking product. hey, you want to connect IBM computers together, you use the IBM standard they would all, then you, you know, and if you ever wanted to add another computer to your network, you had to buy it from IBM because otherwise the computers you already had wouldn't talk to them. And Digital Equipment Corporation, a now dead company, had their own product and so on and so forth. And what happened was that through, spurred by government action through the Department of Defense originally and with cooperation of universities, some standards were developed for exchanging messages between networks. So, you know, okay, IBM can do whatever it wants to do, DEC can do whatever it wants to do, but we're going to define a standard so that the people within the IBM network can exchange messages with the people within the DEC network. So that's what this means. The networks are autonomous. Nobody tells them what to do. But the interconnection, this is a standard for how to interconnect networks, which is why the thing is called the Internet. And then supports host-to-host communication. Okay, host-to-host communication. So this is an important concept. Although we're going to do it on the slides here in a minute. But there's all of the computers connected to the Internet are called hosts. And there's a piece of the metaphor that's missing there, which is the notion of a client, which would be the sort of vision that we have is, you know, you're using a web browser to communicate with a web server. So there's a big web server up there and your little puny computer is getting web pages from it, or you're sending email and there's an email server. So you think of your email host or your web service host or something like that, and your little computer is you know, subservient, and making use of these big computers. But that's not actually the way the Internet works. Everything is a host. Everything connected to the Internet is a host. Or, to use the other language that we use, everything connected to the Internet is a peer. They're all equally capable of putting messages into the Internet and taking messages out of the Internet. So this term, you know, peer-to-peer file sharing, for example, you know, the metaphor is that the little computers are communicating directly as opposed to going to some big central server to get the music down. But it's just an artifact. I mean, it's just a consequence of the fact that the Internet itself is based on a notion of intercomputer communication where all the computers are have equal status, equal standing. Host-to-host communication through voluntary adherence. Okay, there's no punishment to you if you decide right now, you know, you don't like the way the Internet works and you're going to recode your computer in any way you want and try to, you know, get messages into the Internet faster. So it's purely voluntary. And if it means that you can no longer communicate because you've decided to recode your computer differently, you know, that's your problem. You can start your whole Internet. You can start your own Internet. We could all get together. Ted and Tyler and I and all of us could do it and say, we don't like the Internet the way it works now. We're going to build a new one. We're going to, you know, develop our own set of standards, which are much better than these old ones that Scott Bradner and these other guys developed. And we're going to start stringing some wires around so we can, you know, send bits around. It's fine. You know, nobody will care. The Internet works because of, you know, the network effect that once enough people are on it to communicate, you know, the advantage of doing it the way that these voluntary standards describe are overwhelming by comparison of whatever incremental advantage you think you could get by doing it by engineering it differently. Ted.
Since you just used my name. There are certainly cases, though, where specialized protocols exist.
Right.
That are more efficient than the Internet. Take high-speed video conferencing.
Right. So there exist proprietary protocols that you and a few of your buddies may decide to use that are not part of the Internet standard. That's what you're saying. But you can still use the Internet. But you can still use the Internet to send the bits around. But or not. Right. You were talking about the not case. Right. Okay. Fair enough. So that it's not the only network. Let's say it's not the only data communication network in the world. I think that's your point, and that's absolutely true. It's not the right tool for everything. Voluntary adherence to open protocols. Okay, that's the other important thing here, is that you can go to this RFC page and find out how it works. You know, there's no secrets. There's not even any secrets about how internet security works. You can go find the description of all the security algorithms in here. Right? There's nothing proprietary in these documents that, you know, is a trade secret. So this openness, which is, you know, as I say, it's got this kind of social feel to it, which is hugely important. And protocols and procedures defined by the internet standards. Okay, so I don't want to belabor this all text slide here. There are also many isolated interconnected networks which are not connected to the global internet but use the internet standards. So, you know, we could just decide to cut ourselves off from the outside world and just within this room use the internet standards just for our private communication without letting any of the messages out, and that's fine, you know, that's fine too. The one thing I wanted to pause on this RFC also, which is, you know, how do these protocols get adopted, right? I mean, if, you know, in sort of an ordinary, in a conventional organization, RFCs get adopted, I mean, you know, decisions get made through some kind of committee process, and there's some board of directors that's got the ultimate authority, you know, whatever it is, their faculty passes rules, or the president makes, you know, makes decisions or something like that. How does the Internet Engineering Task Force decide how the internet works? Well, this is sort of a remarkable little clause here. Working groups, which are the actual parts of the task force that converge on these standards, make decisions through a rough consensus process. Okay, that can't be by a voting process because there are no members of this organization. So there's no way to tell whether you've got more than half the people voting for something or not. And there's no you know, supreme commander of the Internet Engineering Task Force. So there's nobody, you know, with authority to make decisions. So they make decisions through a rough consensus task force. IETF consensus does not require that all the participants agree, although this is, of course, preferred. In general, the dominant view of the working group shall prevail. However, it must be noted that dominance is not to be determined on the basis of volume or persistence, but rather a more general sense of agreement. Consensus can be determined by a show of hands, humming, or any other means on which the working group's work agrees by rough consensus, of course. So what they do sometimes, okay, somebody makes a proposal and they talk it to death, often not, you know, this is if they're actually physically sitting in the same place, which very often they aren't. And after a while, somebody says, well, I think we sort of agree, you know, everybody in favor, hum. Okay? And then somebody says, yeah, I'm people who don't think this is a good idea, hum, and they hum. So nobody actually has to reveal their vote, and you can tell by ear. The whole internet, the way this thing works is being decided by a bunch of guys sitting around humming. Okay? This is, like, freaky. This is scary. You know, how do we know that the, you know, people heard the hums right or something like that? Okay, so the internet is a very strange beast because of the way that it came about and the way that the decisions get made.